listener production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today.
Relax. This is
Topher.
I'm Charlie Clawson.
Oh, I'm Will Anderson. Hello, and thank you for watching. I forgot to do my hand signal.
About that. It doesn't matter. This is the second one. This is the second of a two episode record.
It is back to back.
We haven't done this for
back to back, baby.
We haven't done this for a while. We used to do this a lot back in the old days.
Yeah,
we used to bulk record quite a bit. And then last year, that was the most epic bulk recording. Before I went away for 6 weeks, we did a massive bulk record. My fear.
And I'm about to not have internet for a while.
Yeah.
So, like, we're going to do a bit of bulk recording up until the end of the year. I've been bulk recording some Willosophy episodes. We've got a bunch of Tofot with Friends things that are either in the can or soon to be in the can. And then we're going to do a bit of bulk recording of Tofop as well up until the end of the year, just so that, because I might not have internet for a few months.
I'm looking at a spreadsheet right now, because that's how this show has grown, Will. We're no longer sitting in the front room of my house in Randwick. We've got a spreadsheet put together by our amazing producer, Mike the Third. And I'm looking ahead, and I think we're actually, like, we're booked solid. In fact, you know, I love what we have done with the shows this year and, like, consolidated everything and, you know, Fofop rolled that into Fofop Plus or Tofop with Friends, whatever you want to call it. But what that has caused is it's made us so organized that because I've got people that I want to get back on, but I'm now having to look at the schedule and see when I can fit them in, which feels a very non-Tofop. Like, we've always been very fly by the seat of our pants. Hey, if someone's in town, why don't you just grab them and have a chat? But Guy Davis, who I do the video store that used to formerly on Fofop, he messaged me to say, I've got a great idea for an episode. And it is a great idea. But then I had to quickly go check the spreadsheet and have to write back to him and say, are you okay if it comes, we can release it in December? And he was like, I guess, what's going on? And then I had to explain, oh, yeah, look, we've rolled everything together and we're trying to be a bit more organized. And
well, I think I've got a couple of Tofop with, I mean, this is the other thing too now, whereas like we both like, particularly Tofop with Friends, where, you know, I had my cricket pod and you've got a, you know, a couple of special projects and all these sort of things. So I've technically like got two Tofop with Friends up my sleeve that I'm meant to contribute for before the end of the year. But if you want one, if you and Guy want one of those Tofop with Friends, I am absolutely willing to hand that over.
Yeah, all right, all right. I'll just put on that on the spreadsheet, which must be fascinating for people at home to listen to. Hey, have you seen the Arnie documentary on Netflix?
Arnie DeFranco?
Arnie DeFranco. Indie pop sensation. I don't know who's Arnie DeFranco.
That's right. Well done.
Oh, thank God. The Arnold Schwarzenegger Netflix three-part documentary series. Have you watched that?
I have not. I've been doing this thing lately, which I want to talk about the Arnie thing. So this is like, there's nothing much in this other than, I don't know. I've started walking at night.
That sounds like if, you know, when they find the diary of a serial killer, like that's his journal. And it's just begun walking at night.
There is an element of not me wanting to be a serial killer about it, but it does change walking. Part of it was that it had been unseasonably hot. There had been, so like that idea of just like going out in the day and going for a walk, it was actually just really, really hot. It was also that a whole bunch of shows that I'd been invested in at night had been coming to a close, just not like wanting to be in the house by myself at night. And I thought, you know what? I started walking at night and then I realized it's actually very peaceful. And you do get a very different perspective on the world. And it's quite nice to go for a walk at night.
How late?
Particularly 2-3 in the morning.
Okay, now I'm worried.
No. Like, evening into night.
Okay.
So like
dusk.
Starting as the sun's starting to go down so that you can like watch the sunset somewhere.
Yeah.
But then like because the weather has been nice, it's been quite, you know, like lovely walking weather, like, you know, for a couple of hours after sunset. So around that sort of zone, around somewhere between sort of 6 and 8 to like, you know, 9 to 10, like as late as that, I
guess. You're walking for 2 hours.
Yeah, okay. Often I'll walk an hour. Yeah, I'll walk an hour one way and an hour back.
So one thing I do miss about living regionally. I used to love walking in Sydney. And I mean, there's so many great walks in Sydney. And that was how I would start my morning, especially when Junior was still around, is just get up. Before I did anything, I'd go for like an hour walk along the cliffs. But where I
live. Well, that's literally last night. I did Bondi to Coogee.
Basically. And it's awesome. Like that is such a. I remember talking to a friend of mine, a friend of ours who lives in London, and she talked about going on some sales trip with her work to the Amalfi Coast. And like everyone met in one of the person's hotel rooms and they all rushed to the balcony to look down at the famed Amalfi Coast. And she said all the Australians were kind of like, yeah, it's okay, I guess.
You ever
like,
been to, you ever like, done the Bondi to Bronte
walk? And I do feel that way about like that stretch of coastline, you know, having traveled quite a bit, like there's nothing quite like it. And I do miss it. I don't miss how busy it gets. Is it busy at dusk?
No. So, well, this is the thing.
All right.
Beautiful. Like I walked, I stopped in Bronte, got a couple of sweet potato cakes from the fish and chip shop and went down to the park.
I bet you didn't order them like that. You didn't call them that when you ordered them, did you though? Not in-
You know what? I actually think that I did say potato cakes and I'm going to say, can't remember if it said scallops or cakes on the menu.
There was no way it would say, I've never seen potato cake on any fish and chip shop north of the Murray.
It's a good point. Yeah, it probably did say scallops, but I've gone with cake regardless and got what I wanted. So he seemed to understand. Yeah. He put it together.
Fucking Victorian.
He didn't go, I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I know we've done lots of episodes and it's the most tired kind of like trope, but let me just quickly say this, that I was definitely in the potato cake category as a Victorian, but having researched what a scallop is, it's definitely a potato scallop. Like that's the most accurate description we're talking. It's a scalloped potato battered and fried. It is so far from being a cake. Like colloquially, sure, I'll give you cake. But if you're being prescriptive and accurate in your description, it's a potato scallop. Deep fried potato scallop is what you're consuming. A deep fried battered potato scallop.
Mm. See, people say you can't change your mind.
No.
People say you can't go on a journey of growth.
I didn't get canceled. Imagine if you just canceled me and not allowed me to grow, Will. For my controversial potato views.
Sometimes you get more information. Like, you know what? We say to people, you know, if you're new to the podcast, thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate that. Start with the new episodes, work your way backwards. You will hear us have some quite regressive opinions. In fact, you'll get to a point where Charlie was very vehement about the fact that they were potato cakes at one point.
Yeah, definitely. That was the hill I was willing to die on.
TOEFOP 177, potato cakes with chips. 2017.
So it might be you order the hamburger with a couple of potato scallops. And by the way, you don't understand, as a Victorian, it kills me to order potato scallops.
So here's the thing about, I actually almost had some potato cakes today.
Yeah.
Because it was the one, you know, hangover Sunday.
Yeah.
I was like, I was trying to.
What do you want?
I had one of those mornings today where I kept trying to fix how I feel. You know, those ones where you're just like.
You kept trying to fill that empty hole.
Well, it was just like, you know, sometimes you're just like, oh, smoothie. I'll have a banana smoothie. That'll sort it out.
Yeah.
And that didn't sort it out. And then I was like, hot chips. I need some sort of deep fried potato hot chips. And I nearly did actually.
Where do you get potato cakes this time of the day?
More? Well, I mean, I told you I was down by the bay this morning going for a walk. And so turns out that is your prime place.
Really?
Your fish and chip shops to be open on a Sunday
breakfast.
Morning.
Really?
Well, it was more like your brunch, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, no. Definitely if you go down by the bay, your fish and chip shops understand that, you know.
It's a front, I'm telling you. Like, I know the neighborhood you're in.
Yeah, there was a
they
line
have a history. Did you see Ricky Nixon at the front by any chance?
Yeah, the truth is, I did notice that a shipment had just come straight in into the docks to the fish and chip shop. Yeah. I assumed it was fish, but so as international people might not know this, and I'm not even sure. Do you get potato cakes and potato scallops something that are available all over the world, or are they an Australian thing?
Well, I think fish and chips is a fairly British thing to begin with. I've never seen many fish and chips in the States when I've been there. It's not really like a
what about in
away.
Scotland? They're big on deep fried things. Can you remember your sort of
I've been in
fish.
I can't ever remember
cake?
Getting a potato cake in Scotland, but I've had fish and chips over there. In Scotland, there is a very famous fish and chip restaurant in Oban, and Gemma and I went there, and I love potato cakes. That's like my thing when I get fish and chips. I would ignore chips and go for potato cakes every time.
Well, that's my thing. Well, because I'm vegetarian, if we ever do like fish and chips, I always end up getting potato cakes and chips. it's true. Yeah, right. I wish that wasn't true, but that is true.
Are you checking to see if potato
cakes?
Yeah,
I'm going to look up potato cakes.
Yeah, because I would remember getting them.
Oh, well, here we go. American potato cakes, hash browns, essentially. So that's your...
I don't like them.
That's not a potato cake, as far as I'm concerned.
No, that's like shredded potato or something. It doesn't work.
Here we go. In Australia and England.
Okay.
Potato cakes in the form of thin slices of potato, battered and deep fried, are commonly sold in fish and chip shops. Now, they've left with Australia, so I don't know if that means that they're...
That's funny. I didn't realize it was actually a slice of potato. I assumed what we were getting was like... some mash flattened into a circle. Reconstituted or something.
No, apparently. So Australia and England, thin slice of potato, battered and deep fried, commonly sold in fish and chip shops, takeaway food shops. The terminology used in Australia differs from state to state.
Oh, let's do it.
In New South Wales, Queensland and the ACT, they are usually referred to as potato scallops or simply as scallops. See, that's weird because at a fish and chip shop, there is also
genuinely scallops.
Yeah. That's the thing that I don't get. You're not going into a fish and chip shop and getting confused with the other cakes that are available there, right? Okay.
And if you want a $2 bag of fresh hip hop from the fish and chip shop, scallops.
Scallops with a lot.
What's that like fucking
joke.
Song?
That's a joke that only you and I would enjoy. Yeah. Welcome to TOEFL.
I mean, I think same. Yeah, we were both raised on them being potato cakes, right? Mm. And also raised on the idea that it mattered.
Yeah.
Right, you know, like that there was some
pride.
Sort of...
Big pride.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was weird for two guys who did not live in Victoria. You would have thought the ultimate Victorian pride would be living in the state
that we loved so much, apparently.
We had fled it, never to return.
We knew Andrews was coming, and now that he's gone, we're moving back.
Imagine if we both moved back immediately. That's what we'd been staying away from. We knew he was coming.
We knew he was coming. We read the tea leaves.
We sensed it.
Yeah. I think my resistance to scallop, though, was also...
That there are scallops from the ocean.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's where I was getting confused.
That are served in a fish and chip shop.
So confusing. How do you...
That's confusing. Whereas like traditional cake, is not being served in a fish and chip shop. So when you ask for a potato cake, they're not like going to bring you out a bit of cheesecake or, you know, chocolate mug cake or.
So do you get, when you get the scallop from a fish and chip, hang on, what's that song? Mm. When a half a bag of fresh hip hop.
Hip hop, like, what is that?
Right?
Bag, yeah, the herd.
Okay. I mean, I know we've done this before. I'm getting total deja vu vibes. So for hardcore fans, I promise we will not indulge this for too long.
The great thing is we probably have changed our opinions on it.
On this song in particular. I used to hate it. And now I think it's one of the most accurate depictions of.
So the song is called Scallops. Here we go. We wouldn't have. I don't think we've actually gone through the lyrics of this song. I'm not going to go through them all because there's so many, but I will.
Can you just give me the gist? What is the narrative of the song? What are they singing about? Is there a story or is it just like a sentiment?
Well, you see if you can work it out. Okay. I'll give you some of the lines and you see. Atty sells. Do you even know what an atty is? What are atty sells?
Is atty just a person?
Okay, maybe.
Someone called Attila, Turkish.
Atty cells expand when we take the mic in hand.
Atty cells. Atty, how do you spell Atty?
A-T-T-Y.
Atty. Are you Googling Atty?
No.
I'll do it.
Yeah, could you? Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah, you keep going. I'll look it up.
All right.
Atty cells expand with our mics in the hand.
When we take the mic in hand. Check out the land on which we dwell with the rhyme unplanned.
Okay. So Atty... is an abbreviation for attorney. That can't be right. Personal legally, no. Or in South Africa, no, solicitor, attorney. Most people say Atty is slang for attorney, but that doesn't make sense. Maybe. Atty's expand. What, our solicitors?
Atty cells expand.
Our solicitors' cells expand. Attention cells, no.
Yeah, I reckon that's what it is. Atty cells expand when we take the mic in hand. Check out the land on which we dwell with the rhyme unplanned. Now Central Coastin', like Central Heating. MC's minds meeting like the lake meets the sea at Swansea.
In England?
I mean, I think there's a Swansea in New South Wales maybe as well. On solid rock, yes, you know we don't stop. till we got every one of you popping like bottle tops.
Like, I like that.
Like a stubby on the veranda, nothing we got planned.
Yeah, Swansea is in New South Wales on the water. Yeah. Yep.
Just spontaneous banter when we take the chance to entice you to do this nice.
Hang on, whatever. Can you just roll back the spontaneous banter? That describes TOEFOP a little bit, doesn't it? What's the line before that? The spontaneous banter.
Yeah. So, like a stubby on the veranda, nothing we planned.
Yeah.
Just spontaneous banter when we take the chance to entice you to do this nice, whatever vice you choose.
Yeah.
I think we prove you got nothing to lose. By following us, in my tongue I trust, to get done what we must, swirls of red dust behind me. So hard to find it, why try getting high? Wide open skies and countryside, just give me some beats and rhymes and room to thrive. And I'll swear that I'll always come alive and direct, inspect the jam from every angle that you can, and you might interpret the master plan.
I am loving that somehow we're going to get from this to a fish and chip shop, by the way. I want to see how they're going to thread this needle.
We're almost at the fish and chip shop. But if you don't, I'll still be rocking the boat, chilling with track sweat and tofu lag side to promote this new view. Anybody there?
I have no idea what you're talking about, by the way. Like, I'm so fucking confused.
Just hanging out by the beach, rhyming, I think.
Okay.
Hey, did you see that? Flying scallop. Like a $3.40, really specific. Like a $3.40 bag of fresh hip hop from your local fish and chip shop.
Ah,
scallops. With dollops, should be for the dollop, right? Yeah. Of flavor on top.
Okay, pause. The $3.40,
bag
that of fresh is referring to, I reckon that's referring to minimum chips plus scallops, right? Because you're not getting a bag of anything else. Because, you know, I would say I haven't been a long time since I've been a fish and chip shop, but minimum chips has been in my lifetime anywhere between $2.50 and $5 minimum chips.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think there's anywhere you can get fucking minimum chips for $3.40 these days.
No way.
With the price of, bloody potatoes and inflation and the cost of bloody living.
Fucking Dan Andrews, I tell you what, that's all. Thank God he's gone.
Dictator Dan. Finally got maybe we'll get back to $3.40 minimum chips. but it's not a $3.40 bag of it's a $3.40 bag of fresh hip hop. Like, this is your fresh hip hop you're getting for $3.40. From your local fish and chip shop, are scallops with dollops of flavor on top.
I don't know dollops. Like, if you're not going to give me Clawson and Awesome, are you giving the herd scallop and dollop? Scallop, dollop.
Are scallops with dollops of flavor on top. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scallop, when dollop. We do what we do, we give heads the bops.
Okay, sorry. Well, halfway through that sentence, I was like, what? What are they? What are they offering? Well, that makes sense. We give heads the bop. The bop. It's a really important continuation of that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly have no idea what's going on in the story of that song. A lot of words, but the flying scallop, that's the one bit of imagery I could glean from it. And so in my head, they're at the beach, they're sitting at a park, maybe foreshore, having fun with friends. And then someone throws a scallop, but then they go buy the scallops.
Look, I've found another version of the lyrics that thinks it's fatty cells expand when we take the mic in hand.
So which maybe would relate to eating fish and chips.
Yeah, that does make a lot more sense.
Fatty cells. Yeah. This actually does, in a weird way, dovetail back to what I initially wanted to talk about.
Which was?
The Arnie.
I can't remember.
The Arnie documentary.
Oh, yeah.
I found it fascinating. So they break into three parts, right? And it's his three stages of his career. So first stage, bodybuilder. Second stage, movie star. Third stage, politician. But the first stage, the bodybuilding stage, where you've got all this amazing sort of archival footage of him training, like he was a huge, as big as a bodybuilder can be, like as a celebrity, that was him in the 70s. I didn't realize, like, he was already quite well known prior to sort of doing the Terminator, but as kind of a like, you know, health and fitness kind of guy. Like, I guess
but how big was bodybuilding?
Like, he was doing,
like, was it big? Was it a well-known thing?
It wasn't like any bigger than it is now, but he was a breakout star from bodybuilding in the sense that he was doing like talk shows, morning shows. You know, he'd go on, I don't know if he went on Johnny Carson, but like, you know, the equivalent of like a Carson type Tonight Show. And then he released a book in the early 70s, which is like health and fitness. And so he did another circuit. He was, because in the, when they get to the movie star portion of it, he talks about how, like, he was offered, like, he did a couple of films before Conan, which really sort of broke him. One was really well received. A bunch were really embarrassing, kind of like, you know, swords and sandals type things, which he's embarrassed about. But he was already a millionaire by the mid-70s because he'd taken all the prize money he'd made from bodybuilding and invested it really smartly and astutely. He was a landlord by like the mid-70s in Los Angeles. So he was saying that he was not compelled to sort of take any roles. Like, his agents kept saying to him, because of your accent and your bizarre proportions and stuff, you're not a leading man. You'll never be a leading man. We'll get you cast in a small role as like a heavy, and then we'll just build up your parts and, you know, and we'll get you as big as we can. But his whole thing was like, no, I'm just going
to
hold
out. I don't need to do this because I'm already independently wealthy.
So I'm just going to wait.
Minor actors coming in wouldn't be.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm just going to wait for the right opportunity, the right director, which turned out to be James Cameron. But in the bodybuilding portion of the documentary, he was talking about how, like, steroids was obviously, because you see these archival footage of him and all his buddies, his training buddies, like Lou Ferrigno and all these dudes, and it is the proportions. It's kind of like when you look at AI created art, where if something doesn't look right about it, like just the proportions of his back and his chest and stuff. And he's talking about, oh yeah, they're all juicing back then, like steroids. It was kind of before, but then it sort of got me onto this idea of, so they've banned steroids in bodybuilding and in professional wrestling, like. They test for certain kinds of steroids, testosterone-based steroids, stuff that makes you sort of bigger and stronger. Why is that an issue in bodybuilding and or like wrestling? Well, maybe bodybuilding I can understand because it's like, well, who's a natural bodybuilder? How did you get – who can be the biggest, you know, just using lifting weights and eating right?
But none of them can they? Like, they're still doing other stuff, right?
Yeah. It's
like,
like,
you can't look like that just naturally.
No, there are banned, it's not all steroids are banned, but there's specific steroids related to muscle growth and development and HGH, things like that. They are banned. But what about pro wrestling? Like, why is it even an issue in pro wrestling? Like, it's a show, right? Like, you and I can take steroids if we want because it's our,
can we? Like, yeah, I mean, as in,
you can get prescribed,
like, if you're, you can get them prescribed, but not for, I'm going to play. And by the way, I'm not necessarily saying this is the case, but let's say I get cast as Thor. Like, Taika Waititi's like, whole new direction for Thor. Yeah.
We want to go all out comedy. I've been hinting at comedy the last two movies.
So I'm going to cast a comedian, but I still want him to be jacked, right? Yeah. So, like, I wouldn't be able to go to my doctor and say, I've got this role as, like, Thor, can you prescribe me steroids, could I?
I think you could.
Oh, really?
I think it would be along the lines, though, of a medical cannabis diagnosis in which it's like, just point us in the general area.
Oh yeah, okay, sure.
Of what
you're
so you're going to be doing long hours, Will, and you're going to be tired because you're shooting so much. You'll probably need, you know, to aid your recovery because you're going to be 14 hours on set and then going to the gym. Well, gotcha. And I think that's completely legal. So
I'm really tired from lifting all those weights to be Thor.
So I think you can. Like, it's not illegal. It's not illegal for like your average citizen, but it just surprised me with the professional wrestling thing that, you know, their whole business is the business of like show and like, you know, you want the biggest attraction. So you want the biggest guys and gals, the biggest muscles doing the biggest flips and all that kind of stuff. Why are they, it's not a competition where you're pitting one, like it's a predetermined outcome no matter whether it's the physique or
but
the
is it
physical
one of those
contest.
Things where they're banned but they're like, band. Like,
for people who are listening to this, Will just did the slowest wink known to man.
You know, like, as in, they need a duty of care for insurance purposes or whatever purposes to say they're banned, but they're not actually, like, you know, they are kind of still looking the other way. Or are they literally testing these wrestlers, you know, before they wrestle? Because I would have thought, like you,
yeah,
that it's probably helpful to the wrestlers to take steroids for their recovery and, like, to, you know, be good at wrestling, so that if you're going into that, that they can't necessarily encourage it or, you know, dose them out or whatever it might be, because maybe there's a duty of care to these people's health. But the idea that they'd be like, okay, it's WrestleMania, guys, everyone weigh into this cup. I mean, is that how it works?
Well, I know in the early 90s, there was a big kind of like anti-drug kind of campaign, which extended to steroids, and they were stamping out. It was all classified under the one thing, like, you know, say no to drugs. Steroids was included in that kind of hysteria.
Yeah.
And that's in the mythology of the history of the WWE. That's where Hulk Hogan, you know, golden boy of the WWF at the time, and him and Vince McMahon, sick as thieves, that's where he betrays Vince, because he came out and basically threw the WWE under the bus and said, yeah, everyone's on steroids. It was mandated by the WWE, you know, in order to maintain our contracts, we were all pressured to take steroids. Vince won that case, though. Like, I can't remember how, like, as in they were exonerated from putting pressure, not to say that there wasn't steroid use in the WWE, but following that, there was a noticeable slim down of all their major talents. Like, wrestlers in the 80s went from being like these enormous kind of monsters to being the more athletic prototype wrestlers that you see today, more like that Hardy Brothers kind of, you know, that's what most wrestlers are now. But I don't know, like, I just checked the WWE's drugs policy, and yes, like they say, steroids are illegal. We test regularly for HGH and steroids. But I imagine, like, there is legitimate application for steroids, right? When people are recovering from injury, or if you've got like a torn pec or something like that, I imagine that it would expedite your recovery. So as long as...
I mean, I think I'm just pretty sure it's against the rules of wrestling to hit someone with a chair as well, but there seems to be a workaround.
Well, it's just, I found this article, which is called Steroid Use in the WWE as Discussed by Hulk Hogan, Sherry Martel, Lex Luger, the Ultimate Warrior, and The Rock. Okay, so let's go to someone prominent, Hulk Hogan. He says, it was kind of a wave of what was the correct thing to do at the time. In the 70s and the 80s, doctors would write you a prescription for a steroid. Every sport in the world was doing it. The mindset was, well, it's safer than taking sugar, as in don't even sweat it. I would go on TV and tell kids to train, say their prayers and take their vitamins, but it wasn't just vitamins I was taking. The Rock said, I tried it. My buddies and I tried it back in the day when I was 18 or 19, when I was playing for the University of Miami. We didn't know what we were doing. Do you buy that from The Rock? I mean, he's definitely got to be on steroids now. There's no way that's a natural physique.
Something. He's got to be on something.
Yeah, we didn't know what we were doing, but now I know exactly what I'm doing.
But again, for The Rock, who's not competing in any professional sports now, right? Like,
yeah,
does it matter? He's an actor. He can do whatever he wants. Like, I mean, literally in the last episode of this, we talked about, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis, like, being in character, like, you know, getting for these roles, losing, you know, like staying in character for the entire movie performance or losing a huge degree of weight. The idea that to be like a big action star that you might juice, like, it's not against the rules of Hollywood. Haven't said that you can't take drugs.
Yeah. Well, the Ultimate Warrior says, talking about steroids is always a catch-22. They aren't all bad and they aren't all good.
No.
Athletes are going to do them, or whatever else, to be the best at what they do. But let's face it, bodybuilding and wrestling are more circus-like and people want to see the freaks. If I had to relate anything to the lifestyle, it would be to point out how the demands of being a pro wrestler differ to the lifestyle of other organized pro sports athletes. There's no season. You go all year round. If part of your gimmick is your physique, your body, your look, then that demands a different approach than a big fat guy who can sleep and eat pizza all day and doesn't have to worry about scheduling workouts or getting good food. I think he's talking about like other wrestlers who that's their gimmick is they're a big guy who eats pizza. But it's still a cheap excuse is a cheap excuse. And also this is probably a big contributing factor is how guys get messed up. Other than the relationships you have with other talents you want to be around, you basically travel alone. And as long as you make it to the building to have your match, you don't have to answer to anyone about what you do. Okay. And blah, 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 blah. It's easy to fall in the habit of abusing stimulants and painkillers to cover up for lackluster energy. Yeah, so he's basically saying that they all do it. But that's, I mean, he's dead now. He died of a heart attack in his 50s. So
he died of a completely unrelated heart attack in his 50s.
But I guess that does come back to what you were saying before about that duty of care. Like you, if you're a doctor and you are it's like the doctors who prescribe Oxycontin, you know, who work for in mining towns and stuff. Like there's got to be some accountability for the fact that you have, without thorough investigation, just prescribed something that either leads to someone's death or gives them an addiction, right?
But also, if you're rich enough, you can find a doctor to do whatever, right? Wasn't like, I mean, Michael Jackson died, like, because
morphine,
he wasn't,
right?
It was something else, like,
yeah, it was something to help him to sleep, right?
He was going basically
it was medical grade anesthesia,
right?
Which is so fucking crazy. Like, I feel naughty sometimes if I have a Xanax. I'm like, oh, like I've assisted myself to go to sleep. Imagine having a doctor coming and essentially, because that's, it would be the countdown from 10 thing, right?
Propofol. Here we go. The Los Angeles coroner classified Jackson's death as a homicide, determining that Jackson died from acute propofol intoxication, exacerbated by the anxiolytic lorazepam, midazolam, diazepam, lidocaine, and ephedrine.
That's what he was having in one hit?
Yeah.
And he was this tiny little stick man.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on there?
I mean, yeah.
Like, how do you get to the point of, I need to smoke a bit of weed or have a drink at the end of the night to unwind so I can get to sleep too?
I need propofol. They put me into a coma every night.
Like, that to me sounds like a guy who's having trouble sleeping. Well, maybe some things are haunting him. Maybe some memories, some things that he's done in his life is probably making it difficult for him to go to sleep.
In a way, that doctor's a hero.
Yeah. Like,
the doctor got him. No one else could fucking get him. The doctor bloody got him. But he was taking like 40 aprazolam pills a night. Like, anyway, there's a whole bunch of drugs that he was basically taking over and over. But my point being that if you're rich enough, you can always find like a doctor who's going to be able to supply you with what you need, right?
Yeah, and I feel, and I feel like, especially in Hollywood too, because there's this total, that's not a contradiction, but what is it? It's like the public face of, you know, Hulk Hogan saying, say your prayers, take your vitamins, you know, blah, 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 and he's juicing. And, you know, Michael Jackson, who was like, I would never drink or smoke whatever, but at the same time, my doctor's administering like medical grade anesthesia. I think that to me, it feels like a very American, I'm sure like happens all over the world, but that idea, because celebrity is so exalted over there and role models and, you know, even The Rock, the way he presents himself as being this kind of like, I just work hard and I grind and, you know, family values and stuff.
I grind up steroids.
Yeah,
and
but the reality
I inject
is,
them into my leg.
Like the reality is like all these kind of stars, I've heard like lots of discussions after the Liver King thing, there's a lot of discussion around like male body image. And it's become obviously the male body image issues are now on par. We did it, ladies and gentlemen. We got both genders hating themselves.
Yeah. I mean, we thought the way to do it was to stop women hating themselves and make them feel okay.
No.
But it turns out it was just to get men to hate themselves as well.
And so this idea that why is it – there doesn't have to be shame associated around the fact that, you know – people take supplements and steroids and stuff. If you want to achieve that look, if that's, but why lie and say this is natural? This is just, you've just got to work harder. And if you don't work hard, it's because you're ill-disciplined or you're lazy or whatever.
Oh, the lie is the problem in a way, right? Because also it must stop people from being able to be treated properly and to be supported properly. I don't want to judge anybody's bodies and, you know, But as I said, I've been going down, you know, Bondi Beach quite a lot, and there's that big outdoor gym at Bondi Beach. And there are some people working out there who have, like, again, like to me, a body dysmorphia of a different kind, which is there's no practicality to the fitness shape that they have got them into. In fact, yeah. if anything, it looks completely impractical. Like the reason they're not wearing a shirt is partly because they're proud of their body, but partly because how do you buy a shirt
that fits those
for these sort of bodies? Because they don't look like normal bodies. Like,
yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure what the, again, just to me, I don't know if I find that particularly appealing. Like, you know, that idea that you put so much work and so much dedication into something that doesn't even look particularly attractive, at least in the way that we traditionally kind of assess what we, like you look at like a Hugh Jackman or a Chris Hemsworth or whatever at their fittest and you still kind of, they still feel quite humanoid. Like, you know, they feel like, you know, a big version of humans. But whereas some of these other body shapes look like literally like an alien species or like some different shape from a different planet. And you're like, oh, I wonder what the motivation behind that is. And I wonder if those people who look like that have some job that is specific to look like that, or could are you can like are some of these guys just an accountant and 100%. They pop down to where they work and they're just like,
yeah, because so much, and if you look at the sort of rise of you know, the manosphere and you know, reclaiming masculinity, so much of it is built around you need to, you know, not only be like you know, dominant in the way you approach life and business and stuff, but you need to make sure you work out and eat right and physically reclaim. But those bodies aren't like, if it's really about getting back to, you know, traditional masculinity and, you know, back when you were the breadwinner and you know, maybe you're out in the fields or whatever, you don't have that kind of body where you've sat in front of a mirror and done repetitions on the same muscle group again and again and again and again. Like, that is not, to me, that is the opposite of reclaiming traditional old school masculinity where you just get stuff done. It's super obsessive and so far removed from your responsibilities as a man. And again, I'm not criticizing. I go to the gym five days a week.
But if that is the idea behind it.
Yes, that you are making yourself a better man.
What you're talking about is the incongruity between those two ideas.
Yeah.
My dad, you know, dairy farmer, like works on the land, right? Eats, you know, meat, like kills, like, you know, animals, milks, cows, like works, like has farm strengths, right? Like a man in that, what you would say, yeah, traditional, like you can't think of anyone who has like a more of someone who works and tills the land, you know, right?
Yeah, it's literally, yeah, salt of the earth.
Yeah.
He has salt from the earth on him.
Yeah, that's right. He does not look like that.
Yeah. That,
you know, he has
body. Your dad, I was watching a clip of Muhammad Ali, you know, fighting George Foreman, the Rumble in the Jungle.
Yeah.
You know, the fittest of all athletes. And he has, like, he's fit, but he doesn't have chiseled, you know, lats and delts and pecs and an abs. He's just he's quite lithe and but he's not chiseled in that way. In fact,
why didn't that'll do?
Yeah.
Like, you know? Like, I think it's really like, it's like when you see sprinters, like all boxers, like I think are both good examples, which is like what we consider to be these like pinnacles of the fastest man in the world, like the strongest man in the world. Like, I like when they still look like men of the world.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this guy's really good at sprinting. Like, sometimes when you just see those people who are all like twitch fiber muscles, you're like, yeah, well, of course he can run fast for like, you know, 10 seconds for 100 meters, but like, can he just do normal stuff around
the
house? Can he
sit in a chair? He's sprung. Yeah. His legs, his twitch muscles just spring him out of a chair. Yeah.
Can he watch a movie comfortably? Like, what else can he do?
When we talked about Man of Steel, the Superman movie a while back. Yeah. And I was saying that I found Henry Cavill's body in that film so distracting. He was so jacked. And first of all, like, why does Superman need muscles?
He doesn't.
His muscles don't give him strength. It's the sun. Like, Superman could literally be out of shape and it wouldn't matter. He'd be stronger because it's about gravity. And it's also fucking kinda completely made up.
Makes no sense at all, really, that he would look like that.
Yeah. Why? Where's he doing reps that will build his muscles? Everything's light to him.
Yeah, I mean, those muscles on Superman, Henry Cavill Superman, are literally for show.
Yeah.
Like, they're show muscles.
So what's not Superman. What's Superman benching? Because, like, everything, like, he's so strong. He's benching, like, planets to go and build up his muscles.
To, like, be able to burn through that amount of calories to, like.
I mean, that is a Superman film I want to see. Right. Like, the two lives of Superman. Yeah, like, he's the savior of mankind or whatever, but he's also. When he's not working out with planets, he's devouring the resources of that planet to fuel his insane gym routine.
Like, we don't really – we've just worked out since Superman arrived on Earth, there's no more protein powder. Like, it's all gone.
I mean, I must admit, like, I'm facing that dilemma now. This, it's a vanity thing of, you know, I'm 46 now. I'm a dad. And I can't, you know, just be completely – obsessed with my diet and exercise like I used to because I've, you know, I've got a family to look after. And I saw a photo that Jem took of me the other day. We're at the beach and I was just having a little sunbake on my tummy and Iona thought it'd be hilarious to come stand on my back like I was a surfboard. And so Jem took a photo. And I saw the photo and all I could see was that Iona's standing on my back and the pressure of her standing on my back had pressed my love handles out like they were spreading, like snaking from my body.
Something about that back fat that sneaks up on you though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like even if you look okay from this front, it's like, but back here, fella, there's like a couple of
saddlebags there. And so I had this sort of moment of like, not disgust, that's too strong a word, but I was like, oh, I didn't realize that's what I look like from that angle. Maybe
don't look
maybe
like that. From that angle when someone's like when my child is standing on me.
Standing
I'm gross. I'm gross when my child is standing
and pushing
on
my fat into weird spots.
Yeah,
but I've also got into this habit at the moment, and I'm loving it of just like eating late at night. I never used to do that. I used to stop eating, but now it's like I quite like when I've finished work for the night. Maybe between around 10 p.m., maybe 11 p.m., I'll go up and I'll watch a little something and I'll have a little snacky snack before I go to bed and I go to bed much more content. And it's like
– well, that probably makes you a better father because you're a bit happier and healthier and like you got a little reward at the end of the day. And if you're judging like – I mean, to me, this is the trap that we fall into, right? There is this – like there's a good amount of healthy – like, you know, it's okay. You're like – I mean, you work – in a public-facing job some of the time, like you look after your health, like that's a good thing for being a father and like being a husband and all these sort of things. But there's that point where it becomes obsessive or takes over other things or stops you from enjoy. It's, you know, that dude who's the, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. He's the guy who wants to live forever. Like he's a rich guy, made all his money as a Silicon Valley bro.
I don't know him, but I've heard about him. Gemma was telling me about him.
Have you seen a photo of him?
No.
Google, like, I don't know, I mean, he'll
man
come
who
up.
Wants to live forever?
Yeah, he's always doing publicity. Okay, he's always got his shirt off and he looks like, I mean, again, not to, you know.
Body shame.
But it's just one of those things where you're like, when I read about what his life is and how he lives his life, I just think.
Yeah, here we go. Brian Johnson, the most generic of names. I'll just share this with you.
And I always look at him and I just think, well, if that's like, I mean, yeah, okay, great. You can live for longer than everybody else has lived for longer, but are you actually living your life? Is it worth the sacrifices that you are making?
That's him?
To just keep
Oh, he looks
living.
Oh, yeah, right. Looks like yeah, right? Yeah, okay. So it says here, Johnson, 46, is a centimillionaire tech entrepreneur. What does that mean? Yeah. He's made 100 million.
He made a whole bunch of money in tech, yeah. He's like a tech bro, you know. He's one of these tech bros who thinks you can hack away. You can also hack life and
spent
work
the last
out a way
years to
live
in pursuit
forever.
Of a singular goal, don't die. He spent more than $4 million developing a life extension system called Blueprint in which he outsources every decision involving his body to a team of doctors who use the data to develop a strict health – I mean, this is an episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Really, isn't it? Like a guy using these infinite resources – to avoid death. I mean, I welcome death, Will. I can't wait either.
That's why I'm walking around cliffs at night.
I just couldn't think of any. I mean, look, I think it's great that someone wants to see what's the maximum potential, but this seems like a lot of I assume that given my family history of cancer and my personal fondness for pepperoni pizza, I probably wouldn't live long enough to find out. Instead, I spent 3 days observing Johnson to learn what a life run by an algorithm would look like and whether this, in fact, is the next evolution of the human being. If I lived like Johnson, could I live forever? It's a big if. Is it worth doing? I don't even need to read the end of the article to say no.
No. No, thanks.
Okay. Right. Blueprint.
Oh, here we go. This is another article that's come up on this same guy. Brian Johnson, the controversial 45-year-old tech billionaire on a mission to turn 18 again, has raised eyebrows with the latest addition to his anti-aging regimen. We'll enjoy this one. This is very tofop. Penis rejuvenation therapy.
Oh.
Yeah. The longevity-obsessed entrepreneur revealed on Twitter that he has started receiving shockwave treatment on his penis 3 times a week.
What?
Aiming to achieve teenage-level erections that last over 3 hours per night.
What? I mean, right, okay. So just a lot to unpack there. So he's getting electroshock therapy on his penis in order to return it to a teenage level of arousal.
Yeah.
Because teenage erections last longer and harder.
Yeah.
And that's not me saying. Please do not take that quote out of context. I'm asking a question. Yeah. It's a question mark.
Shockwave therapy delivers sound waves to the penis.
Oh, God.
To improve blood flow and potentially treat erectile dysfunction.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. Okay.
It's an experimental treatment.
He's only in his 30s, though.
In an ex post, he's 45. Like, he thinks he has a biological age of 30 at the moment.
Oh, that's right. He's saying.
In an ex post, Twitter, Johnson, Rockhard Johnson, commented that his goal is to be erect for 3 hours and 30 minutes a night. He hopes to increase his current average nocturnal erection duration. Oh, this is great. So, how long does he think his current nocturnal, and he measures everything, so maybe he's measured this as well. What is his current average nocturnal erection duration?
So this is erection while you sleep, right? His current one, I mean, it's the same age as me.
He wants to get to 3 hours and 30 minutes a night.
Okay, so I reckon his baseline is 1 hour and 12 minutes.
Higher.
2 hours.
Higher.
2 hours and 30 minutes.
2 hours and 12 minutes.
2 hours and 12.
Yeah. He wants to achieve an erection hardness score of 4 out of 4 stars.
Why?
Sharing a
how does this lengthen his life?
You know what? Remember we had the firmness scale that we talked about recently?
Yeah.
He has a firmness scale as well.
Okay. Is it different to a marshmallow, unpeeled banana, peeled banana?
Well, it has unpeeled and peeled banana.
Yeah.
So I think we were on the original scale. 2 and 3 were peeled and unpeeled banana, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Unpeeled banana and softer. Peeled banana were like 2 and 3.
Yeah.
He's 1. What was the 1 on the other scale? Can you remember?
Marshmallow.
Okay. Well, it's not marshmallow. They're both.
Another food stuff?
Yeah, another food stuff. Yeah.
Mashed potatoes.
Not mashed potatoes.
manufactured confectionery, or is it like a natural food stuff? Can I find it in nature?
Well, there's 2 choices here. They're both based on natural things, but they have to go through some process to be made into what they are.
Okay. Soft as a loaf of bread.
No.
Soft as a is it a dessert or a savory?
Can be both, actually.
Oh, shit. Has to go through some kind of process. Is it called? Is the name of the food stuff the same as the crop or the thing it is?
No.
Or does it change?
It's made from milk.
Okay. Oh, cream. Cheese. Soft as cheese.
Cheese dick.
I mean, I don't know about you, but when I grew up, saying your cheese dick meant something entirely different.
And then number 4. Which we, I think.
The hardest, which was the zucchini.
The zucchini. It's another vegetable.
Penis-shaped vegetable?
Another penis-shaped vegetable.
It's got to be the carrot. which is what we said.
It's not the carrot.
Not the carrot. How is the carrot getting overlooked in both these?
I do not know, but.
It's as hard as, as hard as a cucumber.
Yeah, cucumber, correct. Yeah.
See, I would say a cucumber is harder than a zucchini, like on the firmness test.
No, I mean, I can't believe that we've come back to
hit upon this twice. If you couldn't tell that this is a podcast hosted by two middle-aged men, then within the space of a month, two discussions around erectile dysfunction.
Well, he is also a middle-aged man, so here we go. Perhaps Johnson may seem like the real-life representation of a mad scientist, but his unorthodox lifestyle is yielding positive results. Among some of his achievements, if true, Johnson measures slowing his aging pace, reducing his free testosterone index, biological age by 20 years, improving the quality of over 30 organs, and registering over 50 optimal clinical biomarkers.
Right.
I mean,
he was raised Mormon. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Oh.
He looks a bit like an android, though, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Like if you're making a sequel to, you know, like Prometheus, or they did make a sequel to that, another sequel to the sequel of Prometheus. He could be the android that hangs out with Michael Fassbender. He's got pale skin, hairless.
Yeah. Yeah, he really does look.
Not of this earth.
No.
Just say he does find the secret to immortality, or at least the aging gene. Like they, through this research, they isolate the aging gene or whatever that is. And so then it goes on sale.
Mm.
But you still have to maintain like the work, right? It's not like.
Yeah.
Like that sucks. Who wants more
also,
of this?
Also, like, I mean, imagine if you're spending like $3 million a year or whatever it is he's spending on all this anti-aging stuff to keep himself, and then just one day you go outside and like
– hit by a bus.
Right. Right? Like, or any of the other things. Like, because there's so many other things that can kill you.
Yeah.
Other than like, you know, the natural aging things that will kill you. Like –
if you're immortal, and let's talk like fantasy immortal, not like what this guy's doing.
Sure, sure, sure.
So like a vampire, do you need to sleep?
Well, like vampires sleep, right? They get in their coffin at night and
during the day they sleep. They're reverse humans.
Yeah.
Vampires are reverse humans. Yeah. Okay, but what about a different immortality? Just like, I don't know, who's like who's someone from popular fiction who's immortal?
Highlander or something.
Oh, the Highlander.
Yeah.
So, because sleep is about recovery, right? And giving your body a chance to recover. Yeah. If you're immortal, right?
So if you're immortal, let's say Highlander's perfect, but you can still get tired, right?
Yeah. So you have to go to sleep? And you have to sleep 8 hours?
Okay, well, Superman. Does Superman need to sleep?
Probably. Okay, so the sun gives him his power.
Gets
the power
from the sun, so if it's nighttime. He gets a bit tired.
Well, he comes from a red sun planet, and there's something about the yellow UV rays that make him powerful.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that would affect his – like if the sun is so potent, does that mean when in the absence of the sun – I think he's like a battery. I think he charges up when the sun's out and then – but does he need to sleep is the question, because he's not getting fatigued.
Because
what's he doing? You hear about those people those, you know, there's Wall Street bankers and shit who sleep 2 hours a night because they've just got to fucking, you know, destroy businesses and kick people out of their homes. Like, that's what keeps them going.
So I just can't sleep, man. There's people who've still got homes.
I've got to make people's lives miserable.
Yeah.
So it would be something like that, right? He would just be, he's a high functioning dude, Superman, or any of these immortals, the Highlander. They're high functioning. They don't need sleep. They just got to do what they do.
Yeah, it's interesting. Because, I mean, if Superman's getting his power from the sun, right, then maybe at nighttime he does power down a little bit. Like maybe there is some aspect of like there is rest and recovery. Or the fact that even though you are like super powered, that you would still get tired. The power source isn't infinite. Like it's just ramped up in the same way as so-and-so, like you're fitter than me, but it doesn't mean that you could continue to run
forever.
Like there's a point where you will also get tired, and then there's a point where Steve Monteghetti would still get tired, or you know, Elliot Kipchoge or whatever would eventually get tired. So there is some point where you would like get tuckered out. I think it'd be like with Superman, you probably have to do. It'd be a bit like you know with a toddler where you have to like you know. Like exhaust them all day so they sleep at night.
Make him fly around like, the planet a few times. Like,
if he hasn't got up too much that day, if he hasn't had to do a lot of things, he might have too much energy to sleep.
That would be like, that's a good Twilight Zone episode about someone getting immortality. But the catch is they can't ever sleep. They also get immortality with insomnia. So they're just like so tired. They're so tired, but they just can't sleep. Because that would be, that's living hell, having that kind of being so tired. But not actually been able to get any relief.
Yes, right? Yeah, that's interesting to me.
So that's what I'm thinking, like, if you're a Highlander or someone, you don't need to sleep. So your body's not, you don't have the same urges because your body doesn't need to go through that cycle of recovery. But you may still get tired, but you can't sleep.
So then, but would rest, like if you shut your eyes and just had like a rest, would that still be – because maybe that's what vampires are doing. Vampires aren't necessarily sleeping, but that's why they're in like the coffin with the eyes shut. It's kind of – it's more like a rest.
Stasis.
Yeah.
They're in stasis. Mm. Well, I guess considering the people we're talking about don't actually exist, we can make up whatever rules we want.
It's very hypothetical. I would love – like the Superman thing I keep coming back to because the ridiculous of the Henry Cavill Superman, you know, the bulky Superman, the jacked Superman. Yeah,
bodybuilder Superman.
Is that like – I mean, the Clark Kent thing's always weird, but it's particularly weird when, like, Clark Kent, who's the journalist who works at the Daily Mail, you know, comes in and is completely jacked.
It doesn't work at the Daily Mail because he doesn't steal other people's articles and just republish them.
Oh, yeah, sorry, the Daily Mail. Yeah, that would be great if he worked at the Daily Mail. That's the reboot.
Just like, home and away star, photograph leaving the 7-Eleven, what's under her hoodie?
I mean, using his superpowers, just for celebrity
the paparazzi,
and like
local Australian
looking
celebrities.
Looking through, like, celebrities, like, using his x-ray vision to, like, smile
at celebrities. Seen a grilled in Bondi Junction.
You'll never believe who's doing who.
Matching. Stylish tracksuit pants with red sneakers. The star was seen getting into her car.
I mean, is there a like a so Superman reboot idea where you do go, like, I mean, isn't it more interesting that if Superman is like super strong and super like powerful and all the Superman things, but doesn't look that way?
That he looks like an actual journalist, like a like nerdy glasses wearing journalist.
Yeah. Like you take, the most like old school, like bookish, like journalist looking person, but just who has all these incredible. So you cast, he looks like Clark Kent would look. He looks like that journalist.
So, more like what Mark Ruffalo in Spotlight. Like he was a convincing journalist, a bit kind of like, you know, raggedy and kind of out of shape and stuff, and it lives in his own head more.
Yeah, totally. Neurotic and nerdy and sort of bookish, but just has all the powers that Superman has.
Yeah. That makes more sense. Yeah. It'd take a very brave, I don't know if James Gunn is the director to take it in that direction, but I think that would be heaps more interesting.
Right.
And I also think too that, you know, superhero, the genre is so played out now and we've seen everything in this iteration of superheroes, even in the interesting adult takes like The Boys or whatever. I still feel like we've seen everything. But if you really want to dig into the characters, like the idea of why does Superman need muscles, then I reckon that's something. I mean, I think there's an audience of two, maybe. You and I want to see the fucking Darren Aronofsky's Superman. Where it's just like a character study of a nerdish guy who has his incredible power. And it's actually a good idea for a film, Will, but you just don't call it Superman.
No.
It's a superhero film, but it's shot in an indie style about a journalist, an actual journalist who has this godlike power. And when
but
he chooses
use,
to
realizes
use that power,
it early on that the way to do it is not to be this like flashy symbol in like a red cape and like, you know, blue pants flying everywhere, but like goes into journalism literally because he thinks the best way to change the world is through journalism, uses the powers a lot of the time to uncover crime, like the real big crimes. Like it's good to be able to save someone from a burning building and all these sort of things, but really the mass destruction is being done by capitalism, man.
I mean, they kind of hinted that they wanted their cake and eat it too with the Man of Steel, because they were sort of trying to weave in this kind of angst about, you know, the world will fear you because your power, it'll corrupt you. You know, it's best that you just keep your powers a secret. Mm. If you have to intervene in any way, do it anonymously. But I think
if, but what if you actually did it anonymously?
Like, actually did it anonymously.
Dedicated your life to keeping, like, you know, and used your power as a journalist to cover up this, like, you know, literally the reason you're a journalist and you work at the paper is to help cover up and sow disinformation and whatever about, like, you know.
Well, I assume the reason Clark Kent got into journalism was so he'd be abreast of any, you know, breaking news of, like, of volcanoes erupting, so he could go out and help. That's, I assume that's the reason behind. Or is it something else? He just wanted to work for the Daily Mail. He just wanted to write an entertainment column.
I mean, I assume that you're right. Originally, that would have been the place that knew about those things.
Yeah.
Like, these days, you don't need that.
No, he's a fucking vlogger. He's a YouTuber. That's what it would be. The modern update would be he's terminally online. Yeah. That's how you know where stuff's going on. He's terminally online. He's out of shape because he doesn't need to be fit. But also he's inside, like, 20 hours a day.
Is he out of shape, or is he just like a normal looking dude who knows the best way to hide his super strength is not to, like, you know, like, is to look like a normal looking dude. Like,
I guess
the best disguise
be,
is plain sight, right? Not just putting on a pair of glasses, but wearing the whole look.
And you've got to imagine that his metabolism would be super as well. Like, I don't think he might be, like, thin, because his body probably burns through fuel. Like, he eats quite a lot and he burns through it. But he's not having muscles, because there's nothing that he can lift or do resistance training against that would enable his muscles to grow. So, yeah, okay. So he's just a normal looking dude.
Yeah, who just happens to be super strong, have x-ray vision, like, you know, be impervious to being harmed, but he's, like, in the body of a normal person.
And so does he still have the same motivation of, like, wanting to bring out the – like, he believes in humanity, he believes in the best in people and wants to –
this is why he's become a journalist, is he actually thinks that, like –
I don't think he is a journalist, though, in this new, fresh, indie take. I think we have to find something that's, like, a bit more
– well, you can still be a journalist and also access all those – like, because –
he'd be on Substack. He's got a Substack.
No, because I think that, like – there is still a world of, like, the world of journalism is just bigger than what it used to be. But I do think that, like, to get the stories out, you still need to, like, have some sort of publish. You can't just be some indie, or maybe you can be. Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe he does have, like, a...
He could have both. Mm. Like, you know, you can have your Substack and stuff, but still write for, you know, you're just a freelancer, essentially. Yeah. And he's still got to make his bones, right? Like, he's still got because that's the other thing about.
I just think there is an element of him hiding in plain sight, right? Like, so I think that the idea of working at a newspaper, for example, is an opportunity to hide in plain sight. If you're just this, like, blogger or vlogger or whatever who's suddenly being able to be in Africa or being able to be in blah, 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 then it's not much of a cover story. Whereas if you are an investigative journalist for, like, this major news organization, that's still a cover story of some kind.
Okay, and so is he wearing a costume when he intervenes in these? Because
this is where it gets difficult.
OG
right?
Superman is about creating a symbol of hope, but he doesn't want to take any.
But he realizes that symbols now are all about, like, everything's got a symbol, everything's got a logo, right? Like, this is the world we live in, where, like, the idea of it there being a symbol is, I mean, is there an element of interesting, because, like, he needs to be able to intervene, because Superman's always making complex moral decisions, right? Like, by saving one person, other people die and all those sort of things. That's literally what's at the heart of Superman. Can't save everybody all the time. And this is someone who's decided the best way to save people is to uncover crime and corruption and blah, blah, blah. And occasionally, like, you know, going to bash some people and, like, whatever it is, you know. But that's all going to be hidden. He's trying to keep it hidden, right?
Yeah.
Only uses those things when absolutely necessary. And he's trying to distance himself from any of them at any stage.
I guess, too, if you want to be, Like, he would know as a journalist that anyone can twist your, you know, if he saves some people, that politicians can twist his motivations into any which way they want. You know, they, both sides of the political aisle can try and claim him for whatever reason. Mm. So it's best that he has no affiliation, yeah. like Banksy.
Yeah,
he goes out, no one really knows who he is.
Yeah.
He does these things, which he seems to have certain code, which is preservation of human life when possible.
But if Banksy can keep himself anonymous, then Superman can keep himself anonymous.
I think you can find out who Banksy is pretty easily. Like, if you go online, it's not.
A lot of people have theories, but I don't think anyone actually has ever, like, 100% gone, yep, that's definitely Banksy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I haven't searched it myself. I just have heard people say it's not hard to.
Yeah, I mean,
it's about as difficult.
Yeah, but like people have said that, but like I when they say that, it often seems to be different people.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it as difficult to figure out like who Banksy is? Is it as difficult to figure out who our special guest star at TOEFOP Live is going to be?
It's Banksy. That's amazing.
On November 11th and 25th. By the time this has come out, I'm pretty sure Melbourne is sold out, but tickets most likely still on sale in Sydney if you want to get along to that. Will be a lot of fun. First time we've been on stage in 6 years. We've got some stuff. We've got some stuff planned. And yes, like we say, special guest, if you want to find out who that is, I suggest you do some Banksy-style investigation. Have you got any info on who Banksy is?
No, heaps of different theories. There's a couple of solid theories, but like different theories is my point. And this is all we have to do for this guy as well, is there to be a bunch of different theories. And what a great person to be able to get those different theories out there than a journalist, right? Realizes that like maybe even part of the thing is that like sometimes he writes about the idea of it's definitely this person or if it's definitely this person, like, you know.
Controls the narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I like it. What do we call this indie Superman film? Not so Superman.
Clark.
Superman, question mark?
Yeah. No, it's Clark and it's just done by like all, you know, right? Oh, yeah,
love it.
Like because it's it. That he decides he can change the world through not the Superman part of his identity, but the Clark Kent part of his identity. That's actually how he changes the world.
This is a great pitch. Yeah. I mean, it does sound a little bit like we're pitching the Alfred TV show.
Yeah, I know. It's
like,
true.
Because
yeah.
the studio will be like, so when do we see him in the suit? You never do.
Never do. That's the thing.
So when does he take on Lex Luthor?
Never. Well, he does actually. Lane? He brings down his company through good journalism.
Yeah. He exposes a voting scandal about claiming fake electorates.
This is journalism is the place to do this.
All right, let's wrap up the TOEFOP for this week. We've told you about our live shows. That's exciting. Please come along and buy a ticket and see that. We'd really appreciate that. Will, this is 2 weeks in the future.
Oh, yeah, live shows, comedy.com.au. Just look there. There's a new tour coming soon. James Fosdyke's done some amazing art, as usual, to go with that. So, check out all my dates at comedy.com.au.
And check out all other great podcasts and TOEFOP-related stuff at TOEFOP.com. Also, go to patreon.com/TOEFOP. Lots of bonus content there. Bonus episodes, artwork, lots of fun stuff at patreon.com/TOEFOP. We'll be back next week. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I am Will Anderson.
Listener.